This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio today by my friend Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, Richard.
And as usual, we've dragged him in again this week. It is Arif Ruz with the news in a few moments. Before we get to that, though, a quick lineup of what we've got coming up on the show. We've got a review of the Mitsubishi Outlander. That's all happening in a little while. Our AT&T segment is all about the importance of 5G moving forward. And on our feature, we actually have a guest. We finally got a guest. It is Datuk Aisha Ahmad. She is from the Malaysian Automotive Association. She's going to be joining us a little bit later on to talk to us all about CLIMS 2018. But before we get to that, it is, of course, the news with Arif Ruz. Go on then, Arif. What have you got for us this week?
So this week, the top story is actually the new Proton SUV has surfaced. It's actually a prototype. It's one of three right-hand drive test mules. It's basically a rebadge job with a new grille. So it's going to come with 1.8-liter turbocharged four-cylinder, 181 horsepower, six-speed auto. It's going to come with a huge amount of features, leather seats, panoramic sunroof, 360-degree cameras with a top-down function, so it's like a 3D thing.
Uh-huh.
You got touchscreen infotainment and a huge number of driver assist systems.
Yeah.
So, Proton, welcome to the 21st century.
Why don't you sound excited about that, Arif?
I've got to drive it first.
Okay.
Anyway, so one of the first people to drive it is publicly is Tun M. The first pictures of the Proton Geely SUV was actually revealed on his blog.
Hang on a minute. This is the same fella that just a few weeks ago was saying that we need a new, entirely new
national car.
And yet here he is driving.
Giving the thumbs up.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear on that.
Okay.
Yep,
all right.
Yep. But anyway, so here's what he thinks about his short test drive.
Yesterday I was testing the car, the SUV. It's a very good car. I found that the quality is very, very high. And I think it is a good car for the Malayan market.
If Tun Dr. Mahathir is impressed, I think we should all be impressed.
But he also said Malayan market, which would mean that what year are we in? And if that's where Proton are right now, I'm a little bit worried.
I don't want to comment on that. Please leave me out of it.
So Geely's boss, Dr. Lee Chun Rong, was also there to talk to him through the car, and there have been some discussions between them both. The Prime Minister has revealed what they've discussed.
I knew Dr. Lee a long time, and he came to ask me what is it that Malaysia wants. So I explained to him that Proton may be managed by Geely, but we want Malaysians to participate in the supply of components, etc. We want him to bring in manufacturers from China to help Malaysian manufacturers to joint venture and help the Malaysian producers. Otherwise, they will bring in parts from other countries and Malaysian vendors will have to close down. That is not fair. So he agrees.
Daniel, I'm not going to let you get away with this. You can't just sit there and say nothing about this.
Now, this I agree, because if you listen properly to what he's saying,
uh-huh,
it's actually what I was saying
just a few weeks ago.
How they should bring in a full electric car program. They should talk to Link & Co, which is a child of Geely.
Yep.
You know, do some production here. And of course, do this before they take the product and brand to either Thailand or Indonesia.
Right.
I think it's super positive stuff. It quashes any of my worries about the National Car 3.0. And I really didn't want it. This new Geely project, basically, if it's going to stay here, is really going to be the catalyst that Tun Dr. Mahathir wants for the nation to grow.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I genuinely can't wait to drive it.
I feel a little bit skeptical about this, I'll be honest, you know. But let's move on. Let's get to the next story. You mentioned EVs. Both of you have just mentioned EVs. You're talking about how Singapore now are pushing their EV agenda.
Yep, you could say that it's accelerating.
Oh, take him out of the studio, somebody.
Anyway, Singapore Power Group, their utility company, has announced plans to have a network of 500 charging points in Singapore by 2020. It will be in all the usual places, shopping malls, residential areas, business parks, industrial sites. The first 30 will be operational by the end of this year, and a fifth of them, 100 of them, will be able to charge EVs in 30 minutes.
Daniel, is that a good thing?
It's a good thing. And, you know, I look at it, Malaysia is also moving in that direction because Mercedes-Benz have already put up a lot of charging stations in a few malls, in a few parks, and they're moving ahead even faster than we can speak about it. There is a cost to all this. And if you don't have enough cars using it, how do you recoup the cost? Because these stations are not cheap to make.
All right. Yep. You're also saying that there are some dealerships that will allow you to take a different branded car to use their stations.
Of course, yes.
Okay.
I still think the real progress is when we see charging points on major highways and petrol stations. And
you're absolutely right on that. It has to be on highways. It has to be in public car parks. But because of our weather, the infrastructure cost is very expensive.
Okay, we've got to wrap up, but let's move on then to new car launches. I know we've got a couple here. What do we have?
We have the new Mini Cooper facelift, which is launching, which should come in the third quarter of this year. The video teaser has revealed it's basically an update. It's got the BMW B38 engine, which is really popular amongst units, and it comes with a Union Jack rear lamps, which is quite cool, I think.
You think it's cool?
I think it's cool.
To see Union Jacks passing you by.
I mean,
not so last anymore, are we?
Cool.
Go on, Daniel.
Okay, the other new car that's coming out, and it's going to be in Malaysia very soon, is the Mazda CX-3 facelift. And this is a really good-looking crossover.
Yeah.
And Mazda has done a really good job with the nip and tuck, as Arif puts it. And that nip and tuck will make a difference in sales. I can see a lot of people moving very quickly to book one before the GST ends.
I think if I had the money, I would buy it immediately.
Coming in at around what price?
121,000 ringgit.
Lovely. Okay, that's all the time we have for news with Mr. Roos. We're going to take a very short break. But when we come back, we'll be sat in our studio with our lovely guest. It is, of course, Datuk Aisyah Ahmad from Malaysian Automotive Association. BFM 89.9, the business station. Of course, this is Cruise Control, the car show. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio, as usual, by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. And today we have a guest with us. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Aisha. I represent the Malaysian Automotive Association.
You are going to be somebody that Daniel will really want to talk to today.
Right? Great.
the reason why I want to really talk to Dato Aisha is about CLIMS, KL International Motor Show. Dato, it's been 5 years since CLIMS came to Malaysia. Can you tell us why 5 years?
Basically, we used to organize CLIMS every 3 years, but the last event was in 2013. And at that time, we had it at the Putra World Trade Center. Mm. And the venue was not suitable for us to have an international motor show. Because of that, we waited until a new venue is available. And MyTech is only ready this year. So that's where we decided to do it at the end of 2018, to have a bigger, better building so that all those visitors to the show will enjoy going to the show. Okay. And at the same time, our members, normally our motor show is different from the others in the sense that we always consult all the auto industry players, when do they want to have the next show. And when they say, yes, we'll have it this year, that's when we organize one.
Ah, so you all have a bit of a huddle. You sound off with one another. When's the best time for you? When's the best time for you? That must be difficult.
Well, we send surveys and all that, and they come back and say, well, this is the best year to have a motor show, and that's when we'll decide to have it. But we delayed it for 5 years because the venue. Mm. That was the main reason.
Okay.
Now that we're going to have the show, I'm just curious, what about next year? Are you going to make it every 3 years again?
Normally, as far as the Kuala Lumpur International Motor Show, the amount of money the exhibitors spend is huge. Mm. Millions of ringgit. It's a 10-day event. And it's a world-class show where they bring concept cars and futuristic cars and the latest models and all that. So they must have a huge budget before they can organize and take part in a motor show. Most of the time, even the other international motor shows have their shows every 2 years, not
correct.
On a yearly basis.
Correct.
What we can do is, instead of having it on a yearly basis, you can have a sales show on a smaller scale,
right.
not on a 10-day event.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is CLIMS will still be a once-in-three-year show, but you could have something else in between, which MAA could do to maybe move up sales.
Yeah, move up sales to help our members to increase the market share and all that, especially prior to festive seasons.
Okay. So what can, like say, I want to bring my kids to the show. What can they expect to see? What will they be excited about?
Well, normally for the kids, we will have a lot of activities arranged for them. I mean, now is only June. It is November. But we are planning to have a 6 meters robot made of spare parts that will be displayed at the show itself. But we will also have other activities for the kids, so that when the parents, you know, go and watch the show, the kids will not be bored. They have something for them to keep them busy and enjoy.
The last thing you need is bored kids.
Yes. So as a car enthusiast, Richard is a big car enthusiast, even though he doesn't own a car. What can he expect to see at this year's show? Can you give us like a sneak preview?
I don't really know what the type of cars that is going to be displayed at the Kuala Lumpur International Motor Show, because all our members, they're very secretive.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they won't tell you until 2 or 3 months before the event.
Okay.
There'll be concept cars. Definitely there'll be concept cars that will be brought in from other parts of the world where you have not seen this type of cars. And there will be new models that will be launched during the show.
Okay.
And at the same time, most of the motor shows, they have very, very nice looking models as well.
You're talking about the two-legged ones?
Yes.
Okay. So, Dato, can I...
You're going to get me in trouble, you are.
No, Richard. She's being very frank. So, let me get this right. So, you're saying we'll probably only know what's happening in terms of show previews and concepts 2 to 3 months before the show, right?
Yes, although they're all members, they're also competitors.
Sure,
they
sure.
want to make sure they outdo each other.
Right.
Because we also have best booth prizes and all that. So everybody wants to outdo each other. And as far as I know, they spend 30 to 40 million for this show.
Per exhibitor?
No, for the total.
That's a huge amount of money.
No. Per exhibitor would be more than a million, could be 3-5 million, depends on the size, you know, they are participating.
And this year, the theme is Beyond Mobility. Can you explain a little bit about Beyond Mobility?
Beyond Mobility, as you know about motor vehicles right now, it's looking at latest technologies. Mm. You know, we started off maybe with EV and then hybrid electric vehicles. And then right now, we are talking about autonomous vehicles where you can drive the vehicles without drivers and all that. So we are looking at what's the latest technology, and that's what is going to be displayed during the Kuala Lumpur International Motor Show.
So that's your theme, Beyond Mobility.
Beyond Mobility. It's everything, just not now, but the future as well.
Okay. And for CLIMS 2018, under MAA, what is your personal idea to support the automotive industry in Malaysia, especially now when it's been really trying times for them the last few years?
But what we would like is to excite the visitors as well as the public to come to the show so that they see the latest styling, the latest technology, and then they have in mind what is the type of models or the cars that they would like to buy in future. They can see for themselves, this is the way the auto industry is moving forward.
Okay. You know?
So that will help motor show like CLIMS, helps in branding as well. You know, you can see the companies that spend a lot of money to ensure that their brand presence is visible.
Right.
And then, you know, the potential customers will know that, okay, this is where I want to purchase the next car, this model, this brand, that kind of thing.
They're stamping an idea in your head.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you know, I've always attended shows, and I've been lucky to go global shows, you know, like the Paris, Frankfurt, even Singapore Motor Show, even Indonesia. Because it's been 5 years since CLIMS has come along, I want to ask you, would there be any special prizes given away to visitors? You know, like some shows, they give away cars, motorcycles. Would you be having anything like that for this year's shows?
Yeah. I think for this year, we are asking for sponsorship for cars to be to be sponsored during the show. So if they come for the show, there's a possibility, or if they're lucky, they could win a car and go back with a car. The last time also, we had two cars. We had a Honda and a Toyota that was offered, you know, as a lucky draw prize. Right. And also other prizes during when you come and visit the show.
Okay. So this year, would it be like a Jaguar and a Porsche?
Mm. I hope so, but I don't think so.
I know where he's going with this. Yeah. What about for prizes and giveaways for radio hosts for a car show? You know, because I don't think there are many car shows here in Malaysia.
This
on
is the only one.
I think it's the only one. Mm-hmm. You know,
we'll give you the free tickets to the show.
That works. That works.
Tickets. My God, that's really generous, Dato. Very generous. Thank you so much. So, Dato, when is your event?
Our event is on the 23rd of November to the 2nd of December. It's a 10-day show, and it will be at MyTech, the new exhibition center. You know, so I would like to encourage everyone to come to the show because it's going to be exciting. You see the latest car models to be displayed there, exotic cars, as well as we also have concept cars and a lot of activities to attract every range, every age group. You know, so be there.
How much are the tickets?
Tickets are RM25 for a weekend and RM20 for the weekdays.
We have now just chatted with Dato' Aisha from Persatuan Automotive Malaysia, the people organising the CLIMS 2018. We wish you all the best, Dato', and thank you, Dato'.
Okay.
You are, of course, listening to Cruise Control. We've got to move on here on BFM 89.9. I'm Richard Bradbury. Of course, with us is Daniel Sherman-Fernandez, and we've just had...
myself, Aisha, from the Malaysian Automotive Association.
We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station. You tuned into Cruise Control. We're now moving on to our AT&T segment, the speed of 5G and why we need it for autonomous cars.
Auto technology and tips brought to you by Volvo, made by Sweden.
Daniel from DSF.my, please take it away and educate me and Arif.
Okay, first thing I've got to say, I'm not techie.
Brilliant, we're talking technology and you're not a techie.
But
should I trust you?
Yeah, I was just talking to some people who just attended CES Asia in China.
Right, okay.
Big show. I've attended it 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was amazing. But because I'm not techie, half the things I didn't understand.
You just walked around with your mouth open going, why is that?
Yeah, like, wow, shiny lights.
Shiny lights.
And you know, I look at the way technology is moving in cars. Fantastic. I love it. My kids love it even more than me. Because why? For me to embrace it takes a bit of time.
Right.
I can't even sometimes spare my phone with some of the new cars' mirroring system. But now they're talking about 5G. And the company that made the biggest noise at this year's show was actually BMW, working with Baidu Intelligent Vehicle to start some, you know, connectivity.
Baidu is the Chinese company, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went and asked more questions, and I did a bit of more research on this, and I realized that what's happening is everybody needs 5G to get the full autonomous car running.
Okay.
Okay, that means you're talking about cars talking to cars, that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, if I'm sitting in an autonomous car and I'm going from, say, now your office, right down to, say, your home in Bangsa, in traffic jam, you want to know where's the gridlock, where's the traffic lights, there's a reroute, where there's maybe, there's a police roadblock, you want to avoid it or whatever. So the car in front will talk to your car, which is right at the back. Now, for all this to happen, you need very fast internet connection. Now, in Malaysia, we have 4G. Now, how often...
in some places.
Exactly. How often is it when you drive around and your 4G goes to 3G and no G? You know?
It's regular.
It's happening all the time. And I remember a lot of service providers promise constant 4G and all that. Sometimes when I'm sitting even with my Waze on and I'm trying to find location, I can see the thing just disappearing.
I'll tell you something ironic as well. I was on holiday on islands on the east coast of Malaysia and I was getting a better 4G signal there than I was here in the heart of KL.
Not surprising. Now, my question is, okay, you want to get 5G, and maybe even after this conversation, someone starts talking about 6G. All these Gs are great, but if you can't get the signal running properly in Malaysia, you want to do autonomous car in US and China and everything else. Are you trying to tell me that these countries have immaculate 4G already running? Mm. I don't think so.
No.
Because when I travel to some of these countries, at times things fall.
Yeah.
Even in countries like Japan and Korea.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in an autonomous car right now. I'm sitting back, I'm relaxing, and I'm letting the car drive itself. If the car in front sends me a signal and I don't receive it in time, I could have some problems.
Could indeed.
Number two, we are relying too much on the technology. So we're talking about, you know, if there's a downtime, it happens. Does that mean that all autonomous cars would suddenly get off the road? And then a lot of people, as they start getting too reliant on autonomous cars, what's going to happen? They're going to become terrible drivers. Because why? Your driving skill just goes.
Right. It's like the fact that most there are young kids now who are having to be retaught how to write because they're spending a lot of time on their iPads.
Exactly. And if you talk to the younger generation today, not all of them, but some of them, they can't even park a car properly. Because
right.
why? A lot of cars come with Park Pilot. But if you use Park Pilot all the time, if you use the sensors on your car all the time, you can't get into a space without turning your head.
Mm.
Because you just look at a screen and you rely on the screen. Now, Park Pilot will park for you automatically. But at some point, you need to brake. Now, some of them don't even remember this and they have a fender bender. And they just pretend nothing happened and drive away because they don't want to confront the owner of the park car which they just hit. Mm. So all this is happening now and people are pushing very hard into 5G. I'm saying let's take a step back. Solve 4G first. Get it running 100%. And then talk about 5G. Because when I talk to insurance companies that do car insurance, they are not happy about autonomous car. They don't want to go down that route. Because why? Autonomous cars means when you have an accident, who do you blame? Who do you claim? Third party, first party, already an issue in this part of the world.
Yeah.
Now when you have autonomous car, what, you're going to talk to a robot?
Right. I mean, it was only recently that Tesla was involved in a fatal accident over in the US
yes.
as well.
Yep, yep, yes. yep.
I think there have been two, haven't there?
I think there's
five, is it?
More than five. And Tesla has gone to settle the cases for millions and hundreds,
right.
tens yes. of millions of dollars.
I mean, that's because it's not just about settling that one issue, is it? It's going to be a whole bunch of further issues as we go further on down the
yep.
line, as
yes.
the tech becomes more techie, I
Correct.
Suppose.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a lot more difficult. But talking about 5G, Daniel, is great. But I'm like you say, we're not even established fully on 4G here
yes.
in Malaysia. And there are some companies who are saying that, you know, 5G is probably a long way off before we actually see it implemented.
But you see, they're pushing it in CES Asia. And I think because China wants to go really high tech. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But it might only happen in the big cities. So imagine now someone is driving from a big city to a slightly smaller city, even China. Yes, it doesn't concern me.
Mm.
But if that car suddenly veers out of control,
mm.
somebody is going to lose their life, whether in the car or outside the car. And people are not thinking about this. People don't think about the worst case scenario when they talk about all this. They just want to say, I've got the tech, I'm able to sell it, and I'm first to it.
Right. One of the questions that we keep talking about regularly on one of our other shows is about the AI that's involved with autonomous cars.
Yes.
If the autonomous vehicle is in a situation where it knows it's going to have an accident, and there is no way about that, it will have an accident,
right.
and you have the choice between hitting a tree at the side of the road or hitting a vehicle full of children,
mm-hmm.
you know, what decision does that car make,
right.
and how does it arrive at that decision, I think,
exactly.
is what...
I mean, of course, you hit the tree, but you know, the tree is also a living thing.
Right. Okay, we're going to have to wrap up this segment all about 5G and why we need it for autonomous vehicles. Don't go anywhere, though, because we still have a car review coming up. It is the Mitsubishi Outlander 2.4 litres that Daniel from DSF.my managed to get his grubby little paws on. We'll be all about that in just a few minutes. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
This segment was brought to you by Volvo. Inspiring technology. Shaping tomorrow's mobility.
We're going to be talking about, well, rather, Daniel will be regaling us about his story for the Mitsubishi Outlander 2.4 litres. How was it?
Okay, to start, first of all, Mitsubishi Outlander, been around for 2 years. It's a 7-seater SUV. Competitors, plenty of competitors. The problem is now, the Mitsubishi come to the game a little bit late. But being late doesn't mean it's bad. Being late just means, you know, you get into the momentum of people just loving SUVs. Malaysians have got this big love affair with SUVs and they all want to own one. Men and women and children.
Isn't there a locally produced one coming out sometime in October?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think from a company that's joint venture with the first national car
right,
program.
Right, that's
yes.
right. Yeah, okay.
But it's a full China product.
That's what I hear too.
So, that's a 5-seater.
Is it?
Yes. Oh. This is going to be a 7-seater.
I like the idea of a 7-seater.
Yeah. So, you know, like any other compact SUV that's a 7-seater, the third row seat is not the greatest place to live in.
You don't want to be there, do you?
Yeah, especially with your height.
Right.
But for me and Arif, we can manage.
Uh-huh.
Short distance, we can manage.
Arif is calling you short, my friend.
I'm saying short distance.
Oh, okay.
And I said me and Arif.
I should listen, shouldn't I? That's
yes,
half
yes.
the job of radio.
So anyway,
listening.
So we took this Outlander out for a test drive. And, you know, of course, as with any 7-seater, you have to bring the whole family in. You got to get the kids in the back
yeah.
third row. what I found to start off with, space. The middle row is actually very spacious. So even if I'm driving, you, Richard, can sit in the middle row and be quite comfortable. Five adults, two children, perfect.
Okay.
So in my family situation, for example, I have a housekeeper, me and my wife, and I've got two kids. Okay. So it's perfect. But now, if I bring my in-laws out for dinner, which is not my biggest, you know, favorite thing to do.
You don't put them in the booth, do you?
No. So the in-laws and the housekeeper sits in the middle row, me and my wife in front, the kids at the back. But of course, if you're going long distance, the kids are going to start complaining because it does get a little bit tight. Mm. Now, the biggest issue with this vehicle is the fact that it doesn't have a third row aircon. Mm.
Oh, aircon.
Third row aircon. Now, you see, the moment you talk to any family, they'll say, hey, no third row aircon, I'm not buying it. Mm. And this has been the problem for Mitsubishi to sell in large numbers. So when they first launched the vehicle, we sat with them and said, hey, no third row aircon, what's this? And they said, this is a full CBU. When they first launched it, it was a CBU Japan car. Now, in Japan, you don't get extreme heat and humidity like us. So for them, aircon vents in front, it's enough. But in Malaysia, if you get in the morning, it's fine. You get in midday or, you know, about 2, 3 o'clock.
You want to die.
There's no way you can cure this.
Yeah.
So what they did was they said, okay, listen, forget about what the car can do and everything else. We know the third row aircon is an issue. We will solve it. They went through the process of, you know, putting tinted glass on the car, you know, playing around with the aircon system to get it to cool faster. But the problem is it just didn't work well enough.
Oh, dear.
Okay?
Okay, wait. Daniel, so going back to the space question, because my first car was a SsangYong Rexxon.
Okay.
And when we went on family trips with it, the biggest issue is that when we filled the car up with 6 or 7 people, there was
no
luggage room at the back.
Yes.
Has this improved with the...
No. I tell you, in this range, like the aging SsangYong Rexxon, this, the Nissan X-Trail, you will not get any luggage room unless you go for a full-size MPV. I always tell people,
Velfire and that kind
exactly.
of thing. Right.
But even those, depends. You can't put luggage bags. So what we do is when we go out, if we were to go out as a family for a short ride,
all of us
fine.
Together.
Yes.
Let's have a trip.
Bring on the kids and all that. Okay. What we do is we don't actually take luggage bags. We take duffel bags. You can put some duffel bags in the back, even with the third row up, but you can't put a full-size suitcase. That will not happen. And if any salesman in any brand tells you it'll work, he's pulling you. Well, so now back to the car.
Yeah.
We took it out for a drive. We didn't go out station. We didn't go on a holiday. But we drove around with 7 people in it. Now, what I found out is, okay, if I had to buy this vehicle, driving it, I loved it. It's very, very comfortable. It's very basic. It's very simple. It's got 4-wheel drive. You can activate it from 2-wheel drive to 4-wheel drive just with an electronic button. It drives very nicely. It's got a very nice 2.4 smooth engine. Mitsubishi engines are very smooth. Seat comfort, fantastic. Middle row, fantastic. I'll use the word fantastic because there's leg room, there's elbow room, and there's headroom. Third row for the kids, fine. But I actually got into the third row at one point. My wife was driving and said, I want to try it. For a short journey, it's not too bad. Now, how did we solve the air conditioning problem?
You open the windows.
No. If I'm going out in the middle, like say we go out for lunch, after lunch, we're parked in the sun, I will get into the car, I'll switch it on, all windows down, like you said, have the aircon on, but not at full blast.
Right.
Let some air blow in, let some air blow out, put the windows up, then the family comes in. Within 5 to 10 minutes, everybody's comfortable. But if you get everybody in and start the car and put on the aircon, you're going to get complaints for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to work around it. Now, why do I need to buy a car that I need to work around? Because I'm getting something that's fully functional. It's got a lot of features, fantastic safety features. It drives very nicely. And the price, 154,000 ringgit for a 2.4.
Undercuts the Santa Fe.
It undercuts a lot of vehicles in this class. Exactly. So when I look at the price and I say, can I live with this little feature? Then I think about it. How often would I, in my position, use the third row? So maybe this third row thing is only being used maybe once or twice a month.
Right.
The best part is if I don't use a third row and I put the seats down, it's a flat floor and it's a lot of space. I can go to knock down furniture. I can go just a 5 of us family holiday, and I can put huge luggage bags in. I can go and pick up people from the airport with no issue at all.
Mm.
So as a proper family vehicle at 154,000 ringgit, I think it works very well.
All right, let's give it the 10-point inspection.
Okay.
Who's the car for?
I would say more for smaller families, not for the large families.
Are we talking about small people or?
No, small numbers.
Small numbers,
not short people.
Just checking. Okay. Number two, does it ride well on Malaysian roads?
And it rides very, very well.
Is it fun to drive?
You don't buy a 7-seater like this for fun. You drive it for functionality and you drive it for being really practical.
All right. Is the engine any good? Does it yes. suit the car? Yes. Right. Economical?
It is economical. For a 2.4, not too bad.
Right. Is the infotainment system any good?
Fully loaded.
Is it well built?
It's very well built. Mitsubishi built very good cars.
Many features, USB ports, leather seats, all of that kind of
yes,
stuff?
Yes. It even has a DVR.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Whoa. Value for money?
At 154, like Arif just said, it undercuts competition quite a bit.
So you could buy one and put it in your garage like Arif does?
Well, not for me. I don't earn that much, but probably Arif can.
All right.
What?
Wrapping up with our 10th point, would you recommend this car?
I would recommend this car, and primarily I would recommend it to people who actually don't need a 7-seat SUV, want a 5-seater SUV for that occasional use. You have that extra 2 seats. But if you're just needing a 5-seater, you got a lot of luggage room at the back.
Great. That was Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my and his review of the Mitsubishi Outlander 2.4 7-seater SUV. Folks, you have been listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Daniel Fernandez and Arif Ruse, we'll see you again next week. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.